And we're going to go to the book of Psalm, chapter 23. Very familiar. Some of y'all, honestly, could keep your Bible shut and quote the book of Psalm, chapter 23. It's very familiar. I encourage you to open it. I like opening the Bible, but it's a very familiar psalm. And we're going to conclude our series that we've been going through on courage. Where the Bible says that we've not been given the spirit of fear. Amen? We've been given, and it's not coming all together, but I know it's what, love, joy, and a sound mind, or something like that? What's that? Power and of love and of a sound mind. Yes, sir. Thank you for that. Thank you. That's the premise of this entire series is God didn't give us a spirit of fear. In fact, if we have the only time we're ever told to fear is to fear God, because a fear of the Lord eliminates all other fear. It eliminates all other fear. So Psalm chapter 24, and we're going to specifically focus on Psalm 23, verse number 4. The Bible says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us, Lord, this evening. Father, I pray that you'd help us as we study your word, Father. And I pray that you would just illuminate truth to us, Father, that we might understand you greater, Father, and that you may transform us into the image of your dear Son, Father. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible here tells us about this valley of the shadow of death. Now, death is not a popular subject to talk about. If you try, the person you're talking to about, it's probably going to try to change the subject. Man does everything he can to avoid having to think about death. I mean, when you go and visit a grave, the cemetery looks more like a beautiful park. And the ideal behind that is to keep our mind off of death. And death, though we don't want to think about it, is very real. It's a very real fact, and it's meant to not be scary for those who know Christ. In fact, as Christians, we can even anticipate death. We can even anticipate death. And David must have had this in mind when he spoke of a place called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Do you know that there's really a place called the Valley of the Shadow of Death? There's such a place in Palestine called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It's located between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Now, there's a little spring in this valley that comes out of the hillside and that over the centuries have cut a ravine, a chasm, so to speak, which resembles a little Grand Canyon type thing. It's really neat. This spring goes down 1,300 feet below sea level, where it enters into the Dead Sea. This canyon is called the Valley of the Shadow of Death because it's so narrow at the bottom. In some places, it's only about 12 feet wide. And even at high noon, it's always full of shadows. There are caves and shadowy places there. In Bible times, there are often bears and hyenas and leopards there. It was a good place for thieves to hide and ambush people. It was very dangerous for the sheep as well. It was very dangerously steep, and it was a place where the sheep could easily fall and get killed. I can imagine the children. You know how children are, how they kind of dare each other to do something, you know. I dare you to go up to that scary person, or I dare you to do this. They're all about dares. And I could see them getting together and saying, I dare you to go into the valley of the shadow of death. I dare you to go through that. It was a scary place. But it was also a useful place. In the wintertime, when the grass was hard to find, the shepherds would take their sheep to Jericho to winter and to feed on the lush grass there. Then when the spring would come up and the Judean hills would grow bright and the flowers would come out and paint that hillside, the shepherd would lead his sheep through the valley to greener pastures in the highlands. It was a great place to bring their sheep to greener pastures. And this is surely what David had in mind when he wrote this beautiful psalm. Because David, as a shepherd, No doubt many times it led his sheep through that very valley, the valley of the shadow of death. And David, I believe, is saying here, the Lord has been to me as I have been to my sheep. The Lord has been to me as I have been to my sheep. So he writes the book of Psalm chapter 20, I mean the Psalm chapter 23, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I believe he had in his mind, really, that valley of the shadow of death. So tonight I want to give you three principles that will comfort you as you think about the fears of death. Three facts. Number one, we need to accept death as a decided fact. I want to notice one word that we overlook in Psalm 23:4. It's the very first word. It's the word yea. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. That word is amazing. It's a stubborn fact. Notice David starts off with the word yea as opposed to the word nay. Death was a fact to David. When you start off with that word yea, it's confident. It's a fact. It's a stubborn fact. Yea, there is a valley of the shadow of death. There was a fact to David. Romans 5:12, the Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. It's a fact. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. That is a decided, scheduled appointment that you have. The only exception to dying is if the rapture comes first. That's the only exception. There's a new statistic out on death. Did you know this? Did you know that 10 out of 10 people die? It's a fact. 10 out of 10 people are going to die. Death is a stubborn fact. I want to notice death is an uncertain fact. Look at verse 4 again. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I've mentioned that valley of the shadow of death. It's a very uncertain valley to walk. Thieves could come out, hyenas, various animals that could endanger them could come out. It was a very unstable walk, and he's saying, we walk through this valley. You know, you don't know what's going to happen next as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's but a step between me and death. Sometimes old people die, but other times mothers kiss their young children goodbye as they die. Richard Baxter said this. He said, I preached as never sure to preach again, and as a dying man to dying men. I preach as never sure to preach again, as a dying man to dying men. Tonight's sermon may be the last sermon you ever hear, so you better respond well. Amen. James 4, verses 13 through 15, the Bible says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, or do this or that. You see, God doesn't have to take your life. Do you know this? Think about it this way. God doesn't have to take your life. He has to just quit giving it. He doesn't have to take your life. He just has to quit sustaining it. He just has to stop sustaining it. Whether you know it or not, we are all on God's life support system. We are on his oxygen machine. He gives us our breath. He can pull the cord at any time he wants. Life is a gift from God. So we should say, if the Lord will, we shall live. It's really up to him. And so death, we find, is a stubborn fact. Death is an uncertain fact. Death is a personal fact. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You notice he didn't just generalize it and say, yea, though a man may walk, or he may walk, or they may walk. He says, yea, though I walk. You know, death is a personal fact. It's a personal fact. David didn't say, yea, though you walk. He said, yea, though I walk. You are walking in the valley of the shadow of death just like David was. You say, well, I'm not going to die anytime soon. I'm healthy. Did you know that cars run over healthy people just as much as they do unhealthy people? In fact, if you're healthy, you can probably get to the street more than the unhealthy people and get hit by a car. It can happen any day. So the first step in overcoming the fear of death is to look death straight in the face and accept it as an absolute fact. Just look in the face. Accept it. It's going to happen. I want to know, secondly, acknowledge death as a defeated foe. Acknowledge death as a defeated foe. The Bible says there, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know that there could be no valley without mountains? Do you know that mountains are what make a valley? And so there can be no valley without mountains. Mark the fact, there can be no valleys without mountains. Isn't that true? Psalm 23 is a valley psalm that's placed between two mountain songs. Do you know that chapter 22 deals with Mount Calvary and the crucifixion of the Messiah? Chapter 24 deals with the coronation of Messiah. It deals with the second coming of Messiah. It is a mountain psalm. So here's Psalm 23, a mountain psalm. Psalm 24, a mountain psalm. And Psalm right in between 23 is a valley psalm. It's a valley psalm right in between two mountain psalms. Over here, folks, in Psalm 23, we find that valley psalm in between two mountains. On one side are the blood-drenched slopes of Mount Calvary. On the other side are the sunlit peaks of Mount Zion. Two mountains. Over here we have the crucifixion. Over there we have the coronation. And we're sitting in the valley in between those two mountains. The Lord Jesus is described as a shepherd three times in the New Testament. I want to notice them. Number one, we find John 10:11, where he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's Mount Calvary he's speaking about. He mentions a second time in 1 Peter 5:4, where the Bible says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, well, that's Mount Zion, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Did you know that in between those, there's another shepherd moment? You know, the good shepherd died for me. The chief shepherd's coming back for me. But Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, that great shepherd is the one who is living now for us, in the valley with us. He's the one who rose from the dead and has conquered the valley of the shadow of death. He's with us in the valley. Psalm 121:1 gives us some good advice when we're in the valley. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. You know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, are you down in the valley? Look up to the hills. Look up to the mountains. Look to Mount Calvary. Look to Mount Zion. I will lift up my head and I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. So there can be no valley without mountains. Then there can be no shadow without light. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There can be no shadow without a light. You can't have a shadow without light. Death is just a shadow if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus has taken the sting out of death. Jesus took the gloom from the grave. He took the dread from dying and has given us a hope that is sure. A little girl, I heard the story of this little girl that watched as her mother died of cancer. She had gone to the funeral of her mom, and her dad took her there, and he tried explaining to her what happened, and she didn't quite understand it. And he tried giving her hope, and she didn't get it. And they lived just down the street from the cemetery, so they kind of walked home. And as they were walking on the sidewalk, there's a truck coming by, and the sun was just setting so low that the shadow of that truck hit a store, and actually the shadow was bigger than the truck. And the little girl said, "Look, Daddy, look at that big shadow over there." And it came to her dad. He said, "Honey, let me ask you a question. Would you rather be hit by that truck, or would you rather be hit by that shadow?" And she said, "Well, Dad, that's silly. I'd rather be hit by the shadow than the truck. The shadow's not going to hurt me." And he said, "Honey, I want you to let you know that because Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago was hit by the truck, Mama was only hit by the shadow." I thought, what a great illustration that is. He was hit by the truck, but she was only hit by the shadow. See, because Christ took death, he took the sting of death, you and I will never have to. It's just a shadow to us. Because of the light, it's only a shadow. Isaiah 9:2, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath that light shined." We have a great light. There's no shadow without light. Are you in the valley of the shadow of death today? Well, then why don't you look to the mountains? Are you in the valley of the shadow of death today? Then why don't you look to the light? It's there. There's a great light. There can be no valley without mountains, and there can be no shadow without light. And there is thirdly no evil without a greater good. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He said, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." There is no evil without a greater good. He is greater than the evil. Who is the thou in this verse? Pretty easy, isn't it? Let's look at verse number 1. The answer is there. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's the Lord. Now, in our King James Bible, you'll notice the word "Lord" there is in all caps. That is the equivalent to the name Jehovah or Yahweh. Now, actually, that name is unpronounceable to man because it's actually only made of consonants. We can't really pronounce it. We pronounce it Jehovah or Yahweh, one or the other. And it's the most sacred of names for God to the Jews. It's the most sacred of names. Remember when Moses tried to make excuses for why he couldn't lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, "God, I can't speak. I have a problem with my speech." And God, kind of encouraged him, "I'll be with your voice." And he said, "Well, who am I even going to tell them sent me?" Remember what he said? He said, "Tell them, I am that I am have sent me unto you. I am that I am." That means I am the great eternal personal God, the everlasting one, the ever existing one, the one who never had a beginning, the one who will never have an end, the one that is not the I was or the I will, but the I am. He's the one that sent you. The self-existing one. And then in the very next verse, he basically says, "Well, you tell them that Jehovah is my name. You tell them the Lord," capital L-O-R-D, capital. "Jehovah is my name." That name Jehovah is not mentioned in the New Testament at all. Do you know that? You say, why isn't it mentioned? Because the name Jesus is all we need. The name Jesus is all we need. He is our Jehovah. That name was so sacred to the Jews that when they made copies of the scriptures, every time they came across that name Jehovah, I am told that they would put their pen down, they would go and bathe themselves, they would put on a new garment, and they would get a brand new pen just to write down the name Jehovah. That's how sacred it was to them. That's how sacred that name is to them. Do you know what the name Jesus means? The name Jesus means Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. You see, there's a character in the Old Testament by the name of Joshua. And his name was not originally Joshua, but Moses said, I want to give you a new name. And his new name was from Jehu and Shua. Jehu being from Jehovah, and the other half being Salvation, which was his old name. And he put them together, and it was Jehovah Saves, which is the same name in the Greek as Jesus. And that name, it is Jehovah. That name is Jehovah. It's Jehovah Saves. It is the name Jehovah brought into the New Testament. And here it is, Jesus Christ is our Jehovah Saves. So David, what he's saying in this 23rd Psalm, in the 4th verse, is that although there may be evil in this valley, Jehovah is there to save me and protect me. There can be no valley without mountains. There can be no shadow without light. The truth is mightier than error, and grace is greater than sin. Our sovereign God is greater than Satan, and life is greater than death. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jehovah, Yahweh, art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So in order to overcome the fear of death, first you must accept death as a decided fact. You need to make peace with the fact that there is going to be a day you're going to die, unless the Lord comes first. I there's even a crown for looking for him to come, amen? You ought to look for him to come. But if he doesn't come in your lifetime, there's a casket at the end of that. Death is coming. But secondly, you must acknowledge death as a defeated foe. And then third, and this is going to be hard for you to understand. I know it's hard for me to understand. I kind of wanted to change this point, but we kept it here the same. Appreciate death as a delightful friend. Appreciate death as a delightful friend. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, the Bible says, whether Paul or Apollos. Now, what Paul is saying here, they were kind of fighting over who was, you know, the best of the best and who they followed, you know. I'm following Paul, I'm following Cephas, I'm following, you know. By the way, man's never the one to follow. He's the one to follow. I promise you. And I'll give you what Paul gave the people he talked to. Follow me as I follow Christ, you know. But if I'm not following Christ, take a sharp turn, amen? Don't follow where I'm going. And I'm bound to let you down, and I'm bound to mess up. But here they are. He says, now, in dealing with that, he says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or what? Death or things present or things to come. Listen to this. All are yours. You know what he's saying? All these things in this list are gifts that God has given to your possession. You say, death's a gift God's given to my possession? According to that, it is. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Along with the many wonderful gifts mentioned, Paul states that one treasured possession we have is death. Paul thinks of death not as an enemy, but rather as a servant to help us. Psalm chapter 116, verse 15, the Bible says, they're precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's a hard one to swallow, isn't it? When our loved one dies, he knows Christ. That's precious in his sight. Philippians 1:21, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I honestly have a hard time saying what Paul said there. To die is gain. Now, I understand it intellectually, but it's a hard one, isn't it? It's gain. You say, how is death gain? Well, physically it's gain, for my corruptible body will put on incorruptible. Intellectually it's gain, for I will know as I am known. Emotionally it is gain, for I will be able to praise and worship him with nothing holding me back. Socially it is gain, for I will be with the saints of all the ages and face to face with my Lord. Spiritually it is gain, for temptation and sin will no more be, and I will be one with my Lord like never before. Physically, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, socially, all these areas, it is great gain when we die. Now, what brings me all of these benefits is my dear friend, death. For me to die is gain. Now, I'm not encouraging us to drink Kool-Aid when we're done with the service. But I am saying this, death's a friend. Death, letter A, brings the presence of the shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It brings the presence of the shepherd. In verses 1 through 3, you'll notice that the Lord is mentioned as he. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But he's about to enter the valley of the shadow of death, and look what changes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. See, before he got to the valley of the shadow of death, he talked about the shepherd. But when he got into the valley of the shadow of death, he talked to the shepherd. See the difference there? It wasn't just talking about the shepherd. He's now talking to the shepherd. When life seems good, we often talk about Jesus. We often give testimony for others about Jesus. But when we enter the valley of the shadow of death, we no longer talk about him. We talk to him. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed in the valley of the shadow of death, our communion with the Lord is much sweeter? It's much closer. Have you ever noticed that? There is something that will bring you closer to God than anything else, and that is the dark valleys of life. But when you get in the dark valleys of life, that's when you're going to discover that he meant what he said when he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You'll discover that's true. You may not discover that any other time, but when you get in that valley of the shadow of death, you'll discover that truth to be a great promise. I tell you, when I come to die, my Lord will be right there with me. The light is there. The shepherd is there. Death brings in the presence of the shepherd. Then death brings the power of the shepherd. Verse number 4 again. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That speaks of his power and his strength. When you come to die, his rod is there to protect you. His staff will be there to comfort you and draw you close to him. Any of those bears and hyenas come for those sheep? That shepherd's got his rod. Anytime that sheep wants to wander off, he'll take that staff and pull them in. That's what the shepherd does. It brings in the power of the shepherd. And then death brings the purpose of the shepherd. Look at verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say in. He said through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death is a place you're walking through. In other words, your purpose is to get the other side. You're walking through it. That is the purpose of the shepherd, is to go through the valley. He's bringing us through to the other side. You may be in some trouble today. You may be in some difficulty today. But I want to tell you tonight that it is only for a season that we go through these. And it is for a purpose that God has. You say, I don't know what it is. Oh, you'll understand it on the other side, though. You'll understand it on the other side. David knew that a shepherd would never lead sheep through a place like that unless he was leading them to a better place. I like when the Bible says, and it came to pass. I've heard people say it this way, it didn't come to stay, it came to pass. That trial you're going through, it didn't come to stay, it came to pass. It's not going to be there forever, and there's a purpose. And I think of the song, All the Way the Savior Leads Me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divine is comfort. Here by faith in him to dwell, for I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. for I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. I like that visual picture that Fanny Crosby gave there. The purpose of the shepherd is to lead us through. You are not ready to live, and I said it this morning, until you are no longer afraid to die. You are not ready to live until you are no longer afraid to die. You say, but I'm afraid to die in my sin. What can I do about my sin? Well, let me tell you what you can do about your sin. You can put your faith where God put your sins on Christ. You can put your faith where God put your sins on Christ and believe on him. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Put your faith where your sins have been put, on the cross of Calvary. Father, we thank you for this time you've given us. Thank you for the truths of your word, Lord. We pray now that you would apply them to our lives and apply them to our hearts, Lord. Father, I pray if there's any that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, that they would place their trust in Jesus Christ, where you've placed their sins, Lord, that they might be saved, that they might have a place called heaven, Lord. And Father, I pray for those that maybe this fear of death is a real thing to them, Lord. And Father, I just pray you'd comfort them and encourage them and help them to follow these simple instructions, Lord, for their lives, Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name.